Like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. Time is 3:00. April 12th. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Keane.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Second Speaker Rebard.
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
And Chair Good Fox.
Present. The next item on our agenda is prayer. Speaker Pratt, will you please give our afternoon prayer?
Father, I come to you today as and humble myself before you, Father, and I just thank you, and I love you, and I worship you, and praise you for all that you have blessed me with in my life, and I thank you for my community, and I thank you for my family and my colleagues, and for blessing me as an Osage woman, and I just thank you for your guidance and love, Father, and I ask a blessing upon everyone here today among us, and you continue to heal our community and heal our country and heal our world, Father. I just ask a blessing on those that are sick, your healing touch, Father, and for all those that may seek you, for those who are lost at this time, that they may turn to you, Father, and know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that all things are through you, Lord, and without you, we are nothing. And I just pray that they open their hearts a little more and seek your wisdom and your love and your comfort and your word to us, Father, your promise to us. And we just thank you for this Easter season, Father, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Give us everlasting life. And I just love our elders, and we hold our elders at this time, and we're just so grateful for them and their wisdom and guidance and love, and I just pray for their health, that they may be healed, for any ailments that they may be having, that our children be blessed, that they continue to understand what is happening in our world today, and just feel the love from their families, and continue to grow, and just bless my community, Father, all those that are in need, all the hungry, the poor, that they can find all of their needs and you fulfill them, Father, in their heart, mind, body, spirit, soul. And ask all these things in your mighty name. Amen.
The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from April 8th.
Chair Good Fox.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes dated April 8th, 2021.
Second Stabler. Motion on the floor with a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
No opposed. Motion carries. The next item on our agenda is the Utility Authority Board. We have Mr. Beemore here with us. We're going to give him the floor so that he can tell the committee and the individuals listening about all of the work that the Utility Authority Board has been doing. We haven't been able to meet with you all face-to-face, so we're excited to hear from you guys on what work you've been doing on behalf of the Osage Nation. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Congresswoman Buffalo Head. For those of you that don't know me or maybe listening in, my name is Paul B. Moore. I'm the chair for the Osage Nation Utility Authority. I understand the meeting is a couple of hours today, and I don't know exactly how much time I have. I know that there's some time that the Osage LLC has, and we'll be dovetailing some of the information that each group has. I know they're going to be talking about the broadband projects, as I will, to some degree, bring everyone up to speed on what I know. The LLC owns these projects presently and can give us a more up-to-date picture of where we are. You know, the Osage Nation Utility Authority was established at the end of the last Redigal administration, and since that time, there's been some very interesting things that have occurred, not only locally within the Osage Nation with respect to project endeavors, but in particular with the United States, the federal government, and their interests and pursuit of infrastructure for rural America. One of those, as we all know, has been broadband. My background is in specifically to the utility enterprise or the business utility industry. And where I came from, we had implemented a 500-mile broadband infrastructure, and being new to the Osage Nation, having retired and come back home here to Oklahoma, and having been selected to participate on the utility board, there was no utility to oversee. There was no utility operations to oversee. One of the aspects of utility operations with respect to tribal organizations that I've always expressed and seen for myself through my experience is the capability, the ability for tribes to really dictate how their communities develop by ownership of utility operations. Your local electric, water, wastewater, natural gas operations, all those utility services that drive and build and grow a community. I also see it as a demonstration in tribal sovereignty to be able to have those, own those infrastructures and dictate the development of your lands, of your communities. Because there are so much federal dollars in utility infrastructure in rural America, and in particular with broadband, one of the things that the utility authority did was to commission a feasibility study for broadband. We hired the services of the ACRS engineering group, and based on that feasibility study, it revealed that there was certainly the opportunity for the Osage Nation, as there were other entities or organizations within Oklahoma, and in particular in this area, Osage County, that were unserved or underserved with respect to broadband. And knowing that and having this detailed information about how we could change that, how we could begin investing in our own communities with the idea, with the vision of utility services, The Utility Authority, along with the help of ACRS, applied for two federal grants, not at the same time, but the first one was for a broadband project in Gray Horse. At the time, Gray Horse was the best location for that met the criteria for that particular grant at the time. And sure enough, we were funded. The Osage Nation was funded to the tune of $3.2 million for that project with a matching fund or contribution by the Osage Nation of $450,000. Some of the Congress members in this room and other Congress members who are no longer on Congress were a part of that endeavor to make that happen. subsequently thereafter, we had another opportunity and applied for a broadband grant for Bowring, the Bowring area, which was also approved. So we were very excited. We had $2 million grants to build broadband infrastructure that the Osage Nation would own. We looked at this as an opportunity to economically develop the Osage Nation, to create some diversity within the nation itself for the community, for the nation, and not have just gaming. If you look at broadband and what it really means and what it does, I kind of liken it, if you look back to the old days when electricity was being traveling and distributed, being built across the United States, just like the highway system. That's what's happening with the broadband. That's what's been going on for the last 20 years now. And it's slowly been growing throughout the United States. We all know through our own experience and use of cell phones and computers that it has become a way of life. It's become a part of our life, everything from distance learning to emergency services to the way we run our businesses, the way the government operates, the software that we use, telemedicine, distance learning. There's just not any aspect of our livelihood, of our lives in our world today that doesn't include broadband or couldn't, might not include broadband in some way, shape, or form. Unfortunately, there's many areas throughout the United States that were overlooked or bypassed, if you will, for the services that other cities were getting, the higher speeds, the broadband that made a difference, the bandwidths that could be accessed from those greater markets. Rural America, like Osage County, we have people that were not served, or they were underserved with very low broadband speeds. Some of you have heard the stories, probably some of you even experience that low speed, that slow speed. And it's the kind of speed that's almost does more harm than good, because if you're trying to run a business with that kind of bandwidth, band speed, well then it's very difficult, and it's almost impossible. You might not even want to use it. But time has come and gone by. This has been my first experience in working with the Osage Nation in trying to develop projects and be a lead for a project like these broadband projects and within a tribal government operation. The organization I came from was part of a tribal government. It was the Navajo Nation, but it wasn't within the government. In other words, we didn't report directly to the government. It was an enterprise. It was an entity that was solely responsible for utilities, so you didn't have the kind of challenges that we have here within the Osage Nation, where you're trying to operate business or the nation itself, the Osage Nation itself, the tribal government is not operating the business. It's been relied on LLCs or other entities to run their operation. The Osage Nation Utility Authority, when it was established, it was not established as a regulatory body. But a couple of years after we were established, our scope as a utility authority was changed, and we became a regulatory body. So that kind of took away the ability, or at least our oversight, direct oversight of any kind of entity or enterprise to develop business for the Osage Nation. And so it wasn't handed off at that time directly to the Osage LLC. It was different in the sense that there was different people. The grants were new. We were very interested in learning how it was going to work. There were a lot of ideas about how to establish a business, whether the business itself should be within the tribal government. And we were told, well, that can't happen because of our constitution, because of the way the government is set up. And it would have to be an entity, or it should be an entity. It just so happens that the Tallgrass LLC at the time had the business, or another business that they call OIS, Osage Innovative Solutions, I believe was their name. And that name was used to apply for the grants because they had the credentials, they had the had established themselves as the as an LLC to be able to apply for those grants, and so they did, and the grants were received in their name. There was I'm thinking back on and back in the years, a few years back when we got these grants, and what created the delay, because that's where my conversation is going. You know, we got these grants 2 or 3 years ago, and there hasn't been a shovel put in the dirt yet to build the infrastructure. As a matter of fact, you know, the Osage Nation was forced to apply for an extension for these grants to complete them. There were a lot of obstacles. There were a lot of delays in the last 3 years to get where we are to today. Within the last year, the Osage LLC was assigned these projects, and they worked with ACRS, the same engineering firm that did the feasibility study, and worked with us to put together the grants, grant applications. Over the last 3 years, those obstacles have pretty much been resolved. The last one was with the Department of Transport, the Oklahoma Department of Transportation, and getting recognized by them for right-of-way purposes for broadband. And I'm not going to, for Frank Freeman, I'm not going to try and, I'm not going to get into too much of where you are today, but that was, I'll leave you to give your update, but that was the last greatest challenge that the Osage Nation had with respect to these broadbands. I know that update-wise, from the Osage Nation Utility Authority, we've been following the progress of the broadband projects. We've responded to individuals and different members of the community, giving them updates based on what we know and where we are. The bids went out for construction just recently, and as of last week, I believe they were on the verge of selecting a contractor where there will be dirt moved. And I believe they, once they select a contractor, they have like 30 days to begin the project, which should last approximately 3 months or so. So it's really imminent at this point in terms of actually putting infrastructure in the ground. And that's what makes this time where we are today so exciting, because it is imminent and we are looking at how this is going to pan out going forward, because there is no specific entity that's been identified to oversee a broadband business that I'm aware of. Again, the Osage LLC is responsible for construction, for constructing these projects, these two projects. One of the things, I mentioned the Oklahoma Department of Transportation and how that was one of the most, the latest challenges. Another one that is active right now is with the Oklahoma One Call program, OKI 811 is what it is. That's the number you call whenever you have a, when contractors are building something, they have to call in and locate all the underground services so there's, they don't dig them up and create an accident or an outage of any kind, for whether it be broadband, water, electricity, or what have you. As part of that right-of-way process, you know, the Osage Nation is going to have to participate in this program to be owners of underground infrastructure. And so when contractors call, they're going to want to know where our lines are so that they don't dig them up. Well, if we didn't get this, it could potentially hold up the project again, and we certainly didn't want to do that. You know, if I may digress a little bit to last year before I bring it up to speed today, and I apologize for bouncing around a little bit here, but you have to keep in mind there's been so much that's been going on over the last 3 years. We all know that COVID happened in 2020. We're still experiencing the impact of COVID. But there was a lot of dollars that came to tribal organizations, programs, tribes, and the Osage Nation was no different. We were able to secure, I say we, is primarily the team, and in the case of broadband, under the group, or under the direction, guidance of Mark Kirk with the Neville Nation's IT manager, he had already been putting together a project to come through downtown Pawhuska to upgrade an existing service to the, it was a family's home or the women's home, I forget exactly where it was, but they needed to improve that communications line, and this was an already not part of a broadband project or anything like that. It was already infrastructure the tribe had owned that was serving themselves. And Mark was working with ACRS and getting the, once the COVID dollars came in, he saw an opportunity to not only use some of those, the tribal dollars for his project, but use some of those COVID dollars to intertie with the city of Pawhuska. And that required some negotiation with the city of Pawhuska to use their utility poles. And there was agreement. The city of Pawhuska surprisingly agreed, and they want to be a part of providing broadband service. And having it available to businesses in downtown Pawhuska. Well, it also served the interest of the Osage Nation, because Mark and through his design, it would fit in place with the broadband projects for Gray Horse and Bowering in terms of connectability and connecting to Pawhuska at some point in time through the other projects that would be happening. So that happened. And what's important here is the fact that that system has been built now. As you know, we had until the end of last year to spend those CARES dollars. And Mark, through his leadership and his team, they were able to do just that. They put that infrastructure in place here in Pawhuska. So now that Gray Horse is on the verge of being built, we have infrastructure here in Pawhuska, things are starting to happen rather quickly. And there's why I say everything is so imminent at this point in time is because that time is coming where the tribe is going to have to either decide whether we're going to have a business or not, and whether or not the tribe is going to run that business, or if they're going to partner and have and be a 49% owner or whatever the partnership may be, or give it to somebody else to run entirely. So that's kind of what's imminent about this right now, is because the tribe has to really, I think, decide what they want to do, what we want to do going forward with respect to broadband. I say this all and describe this all with the other information in mind that there are tons of dollars that are becoming available now, and I believe some of the dollar applications are coming up next month or in May for, and some of them are specifically for tribal infrastructure, broadband. There's literally millions and billions, if you wanted to count all the utility-related grants and low-interest loans that are available to tribes. We're not. At least I'm not aware of anyone that's applying for any of those funds at this point in time. But it's important to understand that if the nation, the Osage Nation, is interested in establishing a utility organization, a utility entity, these are the kinds of grants and funds that would help make that happen on not necessarily our own 100% commitment or contribution to build this entity or the enterprise. It's something that, you know, we would be getting assistance from through those kinds of grants and loans. So that's kind of where we are. I mentioned the Oki 811, coming back to current events right now. Right now, there's a question before the Osage LLC about funding to pay for this membership for 811. I made the application to the Oklahoma One Call program so that we wouldn't have any problems with our right-of-way and for Gray Horse. So I made application to the Oki 811, and so now they sent us a bill for the membership fees. There are also other fees that are going to come with location services at some point in time. We don't have anything in the ground right now, but once we do, and the more infrastructure that we have in the ground, there will be a more and greater need to be able to go out and locate utility services when the requests are made. But you know, it's this kind of a question. You know, it's a $300+ membership fee that I understand is being questioned in terms of who's going to pay for it. Well, it's in my mind, it's either way you look at it, it's Osage dollars. You know, whether it comes from the utility authority, whether it comes from Osage LLC, whether it comes from some money the Congress appropriates or the executive has that can be used, it's going to have to be paid for. And It's going to be an ongoing operating expense for the Osage Nation to have that type of oversight, that type of responsibility to locate lines. So, you know, this is part of doing business. I think that if we had a business set up, an entity set up, we wouldn't be spending time, you know, having to decide who's going to pay for $300. But again, as I said before, to pay this $300 bill, as I said before, you know, this is, it's different working in the environment that we are and not having the operating expense or the funding, or in this case, the entity that would be overseeing the operation once it's built. So once Great Horse gets built, I can guarantee you that people are going to be knocking on our doors wanting to connect to that broadband line. They're probably already doing that down in downtown Pawhuska right now. But once it's out there in Great Horse, and I know Great Horse has been waiting for this for some time, the community asked questions about it. They're going to be asking you about it. They've asked me about it, and it's going to happen very soon now. Within the next 3 or 4 months, that line should be built. And again, as I said, that once it's in place, and it starts getting nearer to Pawhuska, customers along that route are going to be knocking on our door wanting to connect to that line. So I think the bottom line here is the Osage Nation really needs to decide if we're going to have an entity and if we're going to be providing those services to people, to the community, to businesses, to institutions that want to connect to our lines. That's the bottom line question, because if we are, well, then I think we need to validate the entity that's going to operate that business, and I think we need to start putting together a vision and seeing in our minds what that entity is going to look like tomorrow, because if we don't, I can see us being here in this very same situation and these kind and having the same discussion again unless we decide that no, we're not going to do that, the tribe's not going to do that. And if the tribe chooses not to do that, well, that's a choice that we'll have to live with and understand on another day, but apparently not right now. So with that, I apologize for the lengthy information I provided to everyone, and I stand for any questions, any other discussion that we might want to have at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beemore. So I'll just start off for the committee and say that, number one, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that the LLC is here. Congresswoman Stabler and I had a brief discussion last week about where the utility board really fits. And even Speaker and I have had some conversations too. Because a few years ago when you all received the broadband grant, or as you were working on it, then we heard, well, no way, they can't do it because they're not an LLC, they're not a business board. So then everything flew over to the Osage LLC. And it wouldn't have mattered if that board was in agreement or not. They were going to have to take it. There was no other way for us to move forward but for them to take it, is how I kind of understood it. And I see people shaking their heads in the back. So and now we're talking about, and we have a board restructure discussion this session where we're going to talk about where do we see the future of our boards? And one of the questions that I had with Congresswoman Stabler was, well, we're talking about board restructure for LLCs, and that's Congresswoman Shaw that's working on that. But I had talked with Speaker and Congresswoman Stabler, and I said, well, where does the utility board fall? Because they're not a business board, they're not an LLC. And so I absolutely think that you're right. We have to address that. We have to address where do we see this board going? Because technically you can apply for all kinds of grants, but that doesn't mean you can administer them and I'm not even sure when you said, I agree, people are asking questions about broadband and I wouldn't even really know where to tell them to go. Do they go to the utility board for those questions? Do they go to the Osage LLC for those questions? You know, who is it that is providing those answers? So I think that the utility authority board definitely needs to be a part of the discussion when we talk about boards at some point. And where we see, as a nation, where we see you all going other than not being a non-business related board. So with that, I will open up the floor for any other Congress members that have questions or comments, or members. Speaker Pratt.
Thank you. Mr. Beamore, I know that was a lengthy discussion where you ended with, I hope we don't have to have this conversation again. And I agree with you because this is the exact same conversation that we had, I don't know how many years ago. And so I would like to get, for one thing, get to the bottom of how we're going to get an answer for the same question that's remained for years now. I need to understand, in order to help you, I want to understand who's not giving you an answer. Is it the chief, or who's not giving you what you're looking for as to feel like you can do what you... Because I'm looking for what's an update on the board. And I understand that, you know, it's been transferred to the OCH LLC, and then there, you know, there's going to be shovels in the ground soon. Not yet, but soon. And they've had to manage their portion. What has your board been doing as far as utility, authority, regulation? Have you worked on anything other than broadband? Do you have anything written up? You know, you invited us to participate in the meeting recently.
Right.
And I appreciate that. It was probably a good conversation to have, but I feel like what we established from that is they were discussing with us how to have a meeting, how to do Robert's Rules of Order, and how to create maybe an entity for utility authority. And so I felt like we're way beyond what those gentlemen had to offer us, because we already have a utility authority board and conduct meetings. But beyond that, they talked about getting policy into place. Do you have regulation, and do you have the codes that you're gonna, what's going to need to be the authority over the broadband? Do you have that? Is that what your board is working on as far as regulation? Because that's where you fall, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that's where you guys, have you guys been working on that while you're waiting on the build out? There's several questions, so that's one. And I would love to help you get an answer, because a lot of times other boards might say that, but there's been times, you know, maybe the clinic is saying, I don't have an answer, I can't get an answer. And I'm like, I'll walk right over there with you and let's get an answer. You know, let's talk to chief and find out what that's going to look like. Because I remember that being the battle cry years ago. And so here we are, but there has been progress made, but we're still setting on the same place. And we talk about being high center around here a lot. And so if I can help in any way get you an answer, I would love to do that. I would love to call him today and say, what's going on with this? Because the time has come and there has to be an establishment of something. Because you guys have known that early on, right? That there's got to be some entity who's going to take it. And there's talk about an establishment of an office and et cetera. And so I think that's how it kind of transferred over to the Osage LLC. And why? Because it made sense to them at the time, because, you know, they didn't think there was going to be a governmental department that was going to do that. And like you said, the Navajo Nation, they have their own basically business entity who does that. So I would say that that's probably where we were going, and that was the reason for transferring it over to Osage LLC. But so what is your board? So I mean, I appreciate the recap, but what does your board have on the books that you guys have been like working on? And other than broadband, what other utilities do you guys discuss and work on as far as electricity, gas, water, multiple things? Because, you know, one, I agree with you, all the this lots and lots of money for infrastructure is coming. That's one of the huge, huge things, several sections of it within the American Rescue Plan. And so renewable energy, you know, and there's a lot of it coming, but I feel like here we are with like lack of planning. And so do you guys have anything written up on the books for plans? Because I know that's one thing that was mentioned is that, you know, when the man was saying, okay, here's what you're going to need. And then we was like, well, we don't have any. And so even if you're defaulting to what is maybe state, do you guys have any plans to pull that in and get something written? Or I'm just interested in what has your board been doing and regarding utility, all utilities or plans that you might have?
Thank you, Congressman Pratt. Yeah, again, going back several years, there's several, and as you were talking, I was just thinking in my mind, what are some of the other non-broadband things that we've been addressing? And, you know, you'd mentioned regulations. Well, to have regulations is one thing, but if you don't have anything to regulate, well, then that's another. But that doesn't mean you can't have framework. You can't start putting together a plan, if you will, of what it is that you foreseeably might be regulating. So early on, and this is like within the first year, the very question came up about regulations when we were transitioned to a regulatory board. The executive office wanted to know what we could do to provide them with regulations. So we did that. We provide them with a plan of operation that other utilities have. It wasn't specific to Osage, obviously, only because if you look at regulations for utilities, they address a lot of the same things. And they do that only because there's rules in a lot of jurisdictions. They have law that relates to, for example, power lines or the transportation of natural gas and how that is regulated. And so there's a lot of regulations that are already in place. I was asked to provide the Attorney General at the time those regulations so that we could get a start and putting together a framework for the future, for today. So that was provided. We also, I enlisted or attempted to hire a legal firm to do the very thing, because the Attorney General's office at the time wasn't really doing anything to pursue that. And so the utility authority attempted to engage in the services of a legal firm to start that same process. But that was about the end of a funding year, and it's every year we put a plan together for our utility authority, stating this is what we want to do, this is our plan, this is the kind of funds we're going to be needing, you know, for these kinds of endeavors, whether it's regulation related, whether it's related to water, which we've also done some work in. We wanted to do a water assessment for the Osage County to find out where we have problems, what it would take to establish Osage Rural Water Districts or a water district for the Osage Nation. We've engaged other utilities with respect to solar. As one can imagine, the nation has had several interested parties come to us, and I say us, I'm not talking about the Osage Utility Authority, but the Osage Nation in general, to see about the idea of engaging in solar projects. We provided some consulting there. I took Chief Assistant Principal Chief Redcorn to the Navajo Nation. We went to their solar farms to see exactly how those solar farms operate out there, because there was an opportunity to do solar, have solar. We've engaged in potential partnerships, discussions for solar projects.
Question while you're on that. When was that? Because I kind of feel like I heard about that, but it was maybe back in 14 or 15.
That was last year. It was a year ago this month, as a matter of fact.
You guys went out last year?
Yeah. So, if you think about the potential partnerships, and this is something that I believe is absolutely going to be necessary for the Osage Nation, is to engage in some type of partnerships, because again, we just don't have the expertise to do everything to establish a utility entity from scratch. It's gonna take baby steps. It's going to take working towards that based on whatever is most feasible for the Osage Nation. Broadband, in my mind, was most feasible only because you don't need the kind of operations, the equipment, the ongoing maintenance of utility systems that you would like for water or natural gas or even electricity. But because of the changing industry with respect to solar, one of the things that I've learned since I returned to Oklahoma is that Oklahoma is a sun state. It's a solar state, just like Arizona. I mean, there's tons of sun in Arizona. Well, there's tons of sun here in Oklahoma too, and we are a solar state. We get a lot of sun, and there's a lot of potential. The only thing that's holding solar back in Oklahoma, has been holding solar back in Oklahoma, is the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry doesn't like solar or green energy only because it's going to take away from their what they have going with respect to oil and gas. But that's part of the, the management of business and how leadership is looking at where they are today and where we want to be tomorrow. You know, there are some other tribes here in Oklahoma that have already endeavored in solar. I believe it was a Chickasha that engaged in a solar plant with PSO, the Public Service Company of Oklahoma. You know, when we look at the industry that the tribe has, it's primarily casinos, you know, and that's pretty much it. We have the meat plant now. We have land, which is great, you know, for a lot of different reasons, including broadband. But we don't have much more than that. But if you look at the casinos spend a lot of money for electricity. They spend a lot of money for broadband. And if the tribe were able to develop a solar project with the casinos, not 100% solar. And you know, every time we get into this discussion, or at least I see sometimes a discussion about solar and its comparison to oil and gas, and that, you know, solar will never, you know, be able to do what oil and gas does. Well, that's questionable. But no one is saying that oil and gas is going to go away. You know, it's that's not the goal, I don't think. I think the goal is to be able to, for at least a tribal nation, and in particular the Osage Nation, look at how we can really make a business case for ourselves to serve ourselves. You know, with broadband infrastructure, for example, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars the tribe continues to pay to other broadband service providers for the services that you're getting right now on your laptops and your cell phones. And that money could be, that you're paying for that, could be paid to the tribe and not to some other organization. Same as with electricity, you know, the casinos. Again, not saying that it would be 100% tribal, but, you know, we could start looking at these business endeavors and how the tribe could manage to build a green or a renewable type project that could serve our casinos or serve our meat plant or any other operations within the tribe itself. But you know, those are some of the projects.
Yeah. About, I guess I would just like to understand, like, what I'm looking back over the Osage Nation Utility Authority Act and what falls within your abilities regarding contracts and rules and regulations. So forgive me if I just keep saying that this, the plan sounds the same. So would you agree with that? Like, it's the plan is sounding the same as it has for years, like year after year after year, right?
Well, I don't, there's no plan.
Saying the plan is to have some kind of business within utilities, right? Would you say that's
utilities?
Still,
yes. There's interest.
Because what you're talking about is, you keep saying that the plan is like the tribe needs to look into this, the tribe needs to look into that, tribe needs to. Okay. So would you say that that's the same conversation that we've been having year after year after year?
It's been a long going conversation.
Right. Since, at least since I've been on Congress, and I think you've been on the board since. About at the same time, or maybe even before. So I'm just saying is that our conversations remain the same. And so mm-hmm. I'm actually, and I would think you would agree that that's the case, right? So, and you've been a great proponent for, you know, speaking to that.
Right.
But we're like hamsters on a wheel again. And that's been happening a lot. And it's not to be, and really, you know, critical at this moment, is just that, because that was how last week went too. We're like, with other things, so we're going like this. And so it's just like, so how do we jump out and take off? And that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of right now, is because we've got to move on with the next board. But I would like to be helpful in figuring out how to get off where we, you know what I mean? Get to the point where all these ideas that you have can come to light. And so we need to like reevaluate where we are. If you, the plan that you have submitted, you said that you were asked to submit the plan to the AG's office for kind of, was it like your strategic plan for all utilities or was that?
Last few years has been pretty much very similar, but over the years, it's all been, utility related. I mean, it's...
Right. So if can you get us a copy of whatever you have writing, and just so that we can kind of, and that's what we've had to do with other things, and Congresswoman Goodfox has kind of alluded to the board structures, et cetera. So I would like to just kind of have another time again to get mm-hmm. together and just kind of talk about, and after hearing from the LLC, regarding the broadband, then we would circle back with you because I really want to help. I really want to get us to, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, again, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying I've been here a long time. I was just had somebody tell me this morning I have a really good memory, and I was like, I know it's a blessing and a curse, and I just, you know, we hear, you know, so I can really recall these same conversations, and I appreciate your, you know, effort in trying to, in speaking that, but I want to know how we can get us off of that, how we can actually move forward. And so what is missing? What's the missing piece? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I can help advocate for that in any way and sit down and have that, you know, I don't know if it's a hard discussion or not. I don't think it is. I think we know what the answer is, but it's got to be developed. And so if I can help in any way get to that point, I would love to, because, you know, we just keep having the same conversation over and over. So,
Congressman Brent, I think the question is almost as simple as the answer. And
exactly.
And the answer in my mind is there needs to be commitment by the nation to move forward with a organization and entity if we are going to, if that's what we want to do, if that's what the nation wants to do, to have a utility business. I mean, if that's what the plan is, well, then that needs to happen. I've heard the same discussion. I've heard the same thing that you're saying now about how can we do this. Years ago, I've heard about the idea of the Osage Nation Utility Authority being described as a business board, and I didn't never objected to anything like that, but that same discussion has been going on for years now too. The reason why I'm saying that it's interesting right now is because, as I said before, these projects are being built. They're going to be built
right
now,
and that's why the question
is being forced right now, because we need to make a decision.
Right, and so that's not for, and so that's why I'm saying we've got to have a conversation. So no, do I think that I don't know the answer? I do, because we've been saying that. And everybody was on board knowing that there's got to be a little office over here, even if it's right over here, an office of folks that are going to take off. And, you know, but we don't have that. And so here we are in the same place. And that's what I'm saying. We're just having the same conversation over and over and over. We're getting the same update over and over, which the update is the nation needs this.
Yeah.
So I would like to help get that. So I'm going to call the chief up and say, hey, because, you know, I talked to him, and am able to communicate with him a lot. So I don't know where the miscommunication is, and that's all I'm offering to help with is the communication and trying to get an answer so that we can move forward.
Yeah.
But we need to sit down, look at where we are, look back at the act, and make some decisions.
You know, I really don't think it's miscommunication, because there's been a lot of communication that's been going on just from the way you described it. We've been talking about it a lot. I think the way we're at right now is a decision that needs to be made to be able to do this. And again, I'm a proponent for utility operations and a business, because it is something that is permanent. You know, it's not like, you know, getting a contract and you know, you're fulfill the contract and you're done with it. You're talking about utility services that are going to serve your community permanently. And so it's a big deal, you know, when a tribe is looking about making a decision like this. The only difference that we have today that we didn't have several years ago when we were having these same kinds of discussions was the fact that the business is ready to start now, is ready to fly.
Right.
And so we have to make a decision.
I'm hearing you, Mr. Beamer. We're going to have to move on to the next board. But what I'm saying is we're still stuck in the same place. And if I can call our chief and say, this is what, I don't know where I say miscommunication, because clearly that hasn't been communicated. We haven't gotten to a place where we should be. But typically my experience is if you address something with him, he acts on it. So clearly I agree, getting down to the wire of it needs to be done, because here we go, and there's been time and money put into this. So I'm just saying I don't know what the problem is. I know I don't even want to say the words because it's going to be taken out of context, but there's a problem that we're not getting there. So I want to try to find a solution. That's what I want to say. I want to find a solution and try to follow up with you, circle back to find out what is going on.
So as we talk about the boards next week, I haven't talked to the committee yet, but in my mind, I'm thinking we have a discussion. It's between executive and the legislative branch. Once the meeting notice went out and it said board discussion restructure, I started getting communication. Well, what's going on? What's this about? You know, what's going to happen? And we don't know. We really don't know. My thought is that the executive and the legislative branch need to have a discussion, and then at some point, maybe some of the boards might come in with us to meet about what the discussions are. You know, what road we think we might go down. But I'm glad that thank you for being here. And see there, Mr. Beemore, you didn't think you could take a whole hour, and it's 4:01. You were worried about that for no reason.
I'm not finished yet.
So we have the Osage LLC here. We're still pretty, we have lots of time. And so I wouldn't even say, I mean, not lots of time today, but we have lots of time in the session. And we absolutely can have meetings all the way up until the end. So we might have another meeting and include you guys on the agenda and hopefully have some more discussion. So with that, I'm going to invite the Osage LLC to provide their update. You all do have an executive session on the agenda.
Do you want us to do it from back here, or did you want us to
come? Y'all can move up.
Okay.
We have one seat here and two seats here. Okay. And Mr. Beemore?
I'll move back.
Okay. Mr. Beemore's going to move back.
Okay.
And you all can move forward.
Okay.
Come.
My voice carries so much out of my blare.
And Mr. Freeman, you let us know when you want when you want us to go into executive session. Do you want that right off the bat? Because this is the second.
Yes.
Right off the bat. Okay.
Rick.
Yes.
Mr. There's a chair right up here if you want to come. You're way back there.
Speak into the microphone, but don't blow into the microphone.
Working. Even if I'm talking right here,
chair will entertain a motion to enter executive session for the purposes of discussing confidential and proprietary information.
So moved. Second. Stabler.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Thank you.